Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The Podcast Playground.
Hooray!
Hey! It's my song! Let's sing it!
It's gonna be fucking awesome!
Come on!
It's gonna be fucking awesome!
You know the words!
It's gonna be fucking awesome!
That's it! Sing!
It's gonna be fucking awesome!
Howdy, 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 Coolest Geeks. It's me, Jesse Gold Snyder, the Coolest Geek Live. How you doing out there? I hope you're doing great. I'm doing okay. I kind of threw out my back a little bit from going to the gym and then getting a little sick over the weekend. And just like woke up on Tuesday and it was a little precarious. So hopefully I won't do anything gnarly while I'm sitting here hanging out with you guys. But I just recently got reminded of the Disney afternoon and my fond feelings towards it, because my daughter and I were looking for something to watch, and I said, you want to watch Goof Troop? It's about Goofy and his son. And she loved the show, and we've been watching episodes ever since. And the Disney afternoon is loaded with great stuff that still holds up today. I mean, on average, I would say all of this material is better than the majority of the stuff that we're seeing on television right now. Honestly, I mean, just all of the gross pop culture shit that's just like thrown into everything so it can be freaking timely and whatever else. All of this shit is rather timeless, and there is a ton of shows. I mean, there's kind of just barely like a top 10 of the shows that kind of went along with the Disney afternoon. They did a really interesting rotation with the Disney afternoon, where they went from, they had a season of a show, and then they would have another season, a different show that came after it. It was a 2-hour block for most of the, I think, 8 seasons or 9 seasons that it ran. And so it would be 1 half-an-hour cartoon, another half-an-hour cartoon, and then 2 other half-an-hour cartoons, right? And they would cycle these things out. So it starts, the first season is a show called the Disney's Adventures of the Gummy Bears. Then there's DuckTales, Chippendales Rescue Rangers, and Tailspin. That was the first year. But the next year, Adventures of the Gummy Bears was already gone, and now DuckTales had moved into the first spot, Chippendale Rescue Rangers into the second, Tailspin had moved into the third, and a new show, my favorite, Darkwing Duck, was added into the fourth. Now, I was like 9, I guess, around this time, like 9 through like 17 towards the end of it, where I didn't really catch some of these later series, like some of the later series that I can't vouch for is like Hercules, the animated series, which maybe I saw an episode or two of. I think it was okay. 101 Dalmatians, the series, which I never caught, and Disney's Doug. Everything else I did get to catch quite a little bit of, and I'm gonna chat about some of these shows and why they're so awesome, and why you should check them out. Starting with DuckTales and Darkwing Duck, because they kind of take place in the same universe, and they recently did a resurgence of DuckTales, which was good, but I think the original DuckTales still holds up. A lot of people are familiar with DuckTales from the DuckTales movie, The Legend of the Lost Lamp, which is great. But the series is awesome. It's lovingly based on the Uncle Scrooge comic books, you know, modernized or whatever for an audience of kids. But you know, features Huey, Dewey, and Louie, and their sister Webby, Uncle Scrooge. Occasionally Donald Duck, but he's like a side character who only shows up sometimes. And Launchpad McQuack, who is the pilot, the terrible pilot that Uncle Scrooge employs to take them around everywhere on their adventures. And the show is awesome. DuckTales is really just every episode that I've ever seen is just great. I don't think I've seen probably every single episode, but I've seen most of them, and they're all really great. And I've gone back and rewatched different ones with my kids. I've tried to watch them like from the seasons. I just like have kind of gotten lost in the shuffle or whatever. But I've rewatched a lot of it with my kids, and still holds up, still awesome. Even better than that is Darkwing Duck, which basically gets to continue the universe of DuckTales in a few wonderful ways, namely with Launchpad McQuack coming to be the sidekick to Darkwing Duck, and what a great fucking sidekick he is. The Darkwing Duck series features Drake Mallard, who is basically a kind of Batman type character, except he's not a rich billionaire. He's a regular guy with a kid, his kid Gosling. And his kid is really the thing that grounds the show and grounds him, because he's just a blowhard and a bit of an asshole, but he loves this kid. And she's rambunctious and cool and fun and always getting away with murder. And her and him, the dynamic is wonderful. And the dynamic between Darkwing Duck and Launchpad is awesome. He's got all these catchphrases. My buddy Aaron Sparrow did some great comic books of Darkwing Duck that he produced at Boom Studios, and later had to rewrite for Disney's specifications, and some that he went on to write with his buddy James Silvani. They're wonderful comic books. If you like Darkwing Duck and you ever want to enjoy some more Darkwing Duck, the comic books that that Aaron Sparrow and James Silvani put out were fucking awesome. Highly recommend those. The other way in which, and it was always just kind of my favorite little element, in which it continued to connect as a universe in a larger way, was with Gizmo Duck, who was this kind of Iron Man-like superhero who had this catchphrase he would say, or not catchphrase, he would say blather and blatherskite, and this suit would get onto him. And what he could do and what he was so much like larger than what Darkwing was, you know, because Darkwing was like a regular guy and this guy was like Superman. And Darkwing's frustration with the mere existence of a Gizmo Duck, it just like, and how much people loved him, and like, just it's my favorite element of the show. It just like made the character for me in so many ways, just how compromised he was by the existence of this fucking Gizmo Duck guy driving him nuts. But Darkwing Duck as a series is amazing. If you are a superhero person, if you're a geek culture person, I mean, like, you know, to a certain degree, I should rewatch the whole thing and do a long series on everything there. I'm going to do that for Gargoyles as well. I'll add it to my list to go into a deep dive into Darkwing Duck. But Darkwing Duck, it's such a great show. So many great villains, memorable villains. You know, it's just like there were so many great people to pull from, and like in within the Batman mythology and the Spider-Man mythology, and just all of, not just the villains and the conceptual ideas for villains like Bushroot and the Liquidator and all these characters, but like somebody like the Liquidator as a perfect example, his the voice actor who was doing him and the met with the concept, because the concept was like he was like an ad man, and he would speak in all of these puns like it was all commercial advertising. Liquidate, you're going to be liquidated. I can't remember what some of his like bits were, but great stuff. And done really well by Aaron Sparrow in the comics as well. Darkwing Duck is a must, but you know, to truly appreciate it, if you're willing, DuckTales I think holds up as well, and it's just an adventure show, and it's super fun. And there's I didn't do like an episode count of like how many of these things are, but there were technically three seasons of DuckTales. Like I said, I really enjoyed watching those as a youth, and have gone back to watch them as an adult with my kids, and I think they're great. So from this first batch of shows, you've got Disney's Adventures of the Gummy Bears, which is kind of like one of the most short-lived, but it's interesting. It was kind of their take on like the Smurfs. They were like fighting some interesting sort of like bad guys who were trying to get their berry juice, and you know, and the berry juice made them jump, and they could, you know, jump and bounce all around. And there was a whole bunch of different personality types, kind of like the Seven Dwarfs, but also kind of like the Smurfs, who, you know, all just different, had different personality archetypes. My kids are loving the new Smurfs, by the way. They've redone the Smurfs recently. I introduced them to the original. I said they're very similar, and they are similar. They're good. Kids love it. But The Adventures of Gummy Bears has some big fans out there. There's some people who The Adventures of Gummy Bears are one of their favorite Disney properties, mythology and whatnot. And honestly, I haven't seen all of the episodes of The Adventures of the Gummy Bears, and I've been threatening to go back and do it for a while. And I think I probably am going to. You know, it can't be as hit and miss as fucking The Bad Batch has been or whatever. I'm going to go check that out myself to watch them all. But I really enjoyed the episodes of the Gummy Bears that I watched. But like I said, it only lasted that one season before it got shifted in that rotation. And Darkwing Duck got brought into the fourth tier. So I did like that one. From what I saw, and there are people who think it's the best one, so maybe check that one out. There's just one season; it won't take you very long. Then you got Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers, which is awesome. You know, some people got turned on to Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers a bit through the 3D animated / live action series that they did, which I thought movie that they did, which I actually thought was pretty great. There were some bits in it that I thought were hilarious. I got to go back and like sort of rewatch because there were some things that I didn't love, but in general, I thought it was pretty good. You know, doesn't really like have a lot of relation to the Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers show in a lot of ways. But the Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers show was awesome. Good enough that there was possibilities for me to write comic books for Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers. And I liked the show enough that I was ready to take the job. And I was going to, I had just started researching a couple things and making some notes of some stuff in case the licensing deal worked out. Because it was sort of a deal with somebody who was getting the Disney license. Like, if you get the Disney license and you have the license to Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers, would you write it? And I said, yes, I would. But they never ended up getting the license for the Disney Afternoon stuff. So, or at least not beyond Darkwing Duck and a couple of the things that they got. But I don't think it was Disney Afternoon. I don't think they went after any of those licenses. But Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers is a really simple and fun adventure show. Just the fact that Chip is dressed like Indiana Jones and Dale is dressed like freaking Burt Reynolds in his show. Shit, is not Miami Vice. I forget what his show was called.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
There was a classic show of that era, and that Hawaiian shirt thing, that was his look. So like they dressed them up as like two tough guys of the day, adventurers. I think that was fun. And Gadget was great as like the super smart, sensitive and cool inventor chick. I really like had a crush on Gadget, even though she was a mouse. But like I liked who she was as a person. And Montana Max, their great friend, who's obsessed with cheese, was awesome. And Zipper, their fly companion, who's just super sweet and earnest, little fly dude. And they went around doing all sorts of stuff. It was really funny messing with the pirates. They were rats. They were pirate rats. I was going to, in my comic thing, just thinking about that, I was going to turn them into corporate pirates. We've turned our sights into the financial world, and now we're corporate pirates. I thought that would be fun. There's lots of just fun, silly stuff like that. You know, evil animal bad guys that they're fighting, and it's awesome. I think Chip and Dale gets the, what is it? It doesn't get a full four seasons. DuckTales only get, I guess DuckTales only maybe got two seasons. Yeah, and then Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers got three seasons because of that rotation thing, because they were out within a certain period of time. So yeah, but three seasons of Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers, worth your time, especially if you like Chip and Dale, because it's certainly that sort of back and forth, brothers battling it out, but you know, coming together in the end and stuff. It's just a little adventure series with this great little team of mice and chipmunks and a fly rescuing people. because they're the Rescue Rangers. I don't know what else to say about it. It's a cute show. I like it. I won't say that it's like, you know, like there are some shows from the Disney Afternoon that transcend the medium. And I think DuckTales is borderline. I think Darkwing Duck is definitely a transcendent of the medium. So is Gargoyles, which we'll get to in a minute. But Rescue Rangers is a great show. Additionally, from that first batch is Tailspin, which got the full four seasons because it was in the number four slot. Tailspin stars Baloo the bear from The Jungle Book and him with a little kid bear cub who he's kind of taken on, this kid Kit, who flies on the clouds. He surfs. He's a cloud surfer. It's pretty damn cool. I used to imagine that, you know, oftentimes, you know, like where you got like some cool kid doing whatever. It's like, you know, the audience doesn't necessarily want to like them, but he was like just constantly doing something very scary, you know. And I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but he would hang out the back of the thing like he was on like the back of a boat, like on skis, and he was on this little silver flying disc, and he would be like surfing on the clouds and stuff, and he wasn't wearing a parachute or nothing. It was scary. This would be his little kid. I was like, wow, this kid's legit. One of the main supporting characters besides it's not Kit's mom. Who is it? She's like a lady who's just kind of like slightly overbearing. Who's always trying to like keep Baloo in line. Like she's like the office manager kind of thing of like his like shipping company or whatever. But there is his best buddy, King Louie, who is just owns a bar called Louie's, which isn't, he's not King Louie, he's just Louie the bartender. And, you know, and that's like they get into all sorts of hijinks together. And I love the Baloo the Bear character from Jungle Book. Always enjoyed this show just because I liked that character. And I liked his dynamic with him and King Louie, who had a really kind of defined personality in that one major scene that he has in the Jungle Book. And it gets to kind of continue here. And it's funny, the original idea for this show or something like that, the beginnings of this show, was that Baloo the Bear was an actor. And King Louie was an actor, you know, like they were animal actors in a animal version of Hollywood. This is like sort of the origins of Zootopia as well, came from this thing, like, you know, that there was like a version of Hollywood with all these animals who were, you know, going, trying to get cast and stuff, which is really, it was a brilliant idea. And, you know, and it's cool, some of the little vestigial bits that are exist within this show. And then, like, additionally within that, they cast the bad guy of the Jungle Book, Shere Khan, as this corporate bad guy. And he's just as evil and cool as ever. There's a few other characters. I think Bagheera makes an appearance at some point in the show. But generally speaking, you know, it's just those ones who are focused on. You know, I can't say I've watched every episode again, because this was on four seasons and I didn't always catch every episode every day or whatever was the case with the airings, but I saw plenty of Tailspin and I always enjoyed it, and I've been kind of meaning to go back and rewatch that one as well because I have rewatched so many of them, but not that one yet. So that ends the block of the four that show up. And now, of course, we get this rotation thing where with each subsequent season, there's more seasons of some of the shows that I talked about. One of the shows disappears and a new show arises. Now, I already talked about the first new show that arises in spot number four, which is Darkwing Duck, the next season. But talking about Goof Troop. Now, Goof Troop arrives this third season then into that fourth slot. And like I said, I've been watching with my daughter, and we've got Pete as the next door neighbor who is just like, you know, cannot stand Goofy. And I remember being like a little bit like, oh, no, like he's like a straight up bad guy. He's not like a good guy, you know, whatever. But you love this dynamic of just Pete as just the grumpy neighbor who cannot stand having Goofy, of all freaking people, as his neighbor. His son, Max, who's cool, who's genuinely a cool guy and would like to be a cool guy and is, But at the same time, he's a little goofy. And, you know, he's resistant of that part of himself because, you know, his dad's, you know, kind of often making him look bad and everything. But at the same time, he loves his dad. His dad's a good guy. His dad's really his dad's pure good. What's goofy? Oh, damn it. I've connected to the heart of the show and why it all works, and it's making me cry. It's because my back hurts. But yeah, it really is. It's wonderful. You know, he loves his dad, even though his dad is goofy.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Oh, it's gonna make me cry to say it out loud. He loves his daddy. Oh, his dad is goofy. Okay. And next door, you've got Pete, who can't stand his fucking goofy dad. And Pete's wife, who recognizes that Goofy's ultimately a nice guy and, you know, is constantly, you know, agreeing to things that Pete doesn't want to agree to, getting into situations. And Pete's son, what's Pete's son's name? Blanking. Elroy? No. Whatever. It'll come to me. But Max and this kid, you know, they're best friends, and they've got a great relationship because, you know, basically, they're in a similar situation. Pete's a real dick, but he loves his dad, and he's constantly getting into, you know, sort of the conundrum of trying to like please his dad. In the second episode, I think the two of them get into this really simple, strategic battle to like hate each other so badly and want each other to die. Like they make it so dark that the two dads are like, you don't want to wish harm on people. Like, you know, Goof's not such a bad guy. Like it's a great moment. Pete's like, the Goof's not such a bad guy. And Pete's reconciling with the fact that like, he's goofy. It annoys and upsets me, but he's a good guy, you know. and this of course heals the rift and allows things to continue, this great dynamic of Pete not being able to stand freaking Goofy, and Goofy occasionally getting to the point where he can't put up with freaking Pete anymore because he's not being nice to him. and it's great. It's just a great father-son dynamic. All everything about it works awesome. And, you know, the show hits you in the feels. And it's the reason why that Goofy movie, and I think there's an Extremely Goofy movie as well. I don't think I've ever seen the Extremely Goofy movie. Let me know. Write to me at jesseblaze@jessesnyder.com if you've ever seen the Extremely Goofy movie and if it's any good, because I haven't watched that one yet. But probably not going to watch that unless I get a recommendation. That's awesome. The Goofy movie's awesome. Really awesome. Great little cameo appearance by Pauly Shore as the Weasel. Hey, the Cheese Meister. Something like that. Super fun. And there's a great song in there. Each other's lives. We're seeing it eye to eye. Good one. Love Goofy movie. Loved Goof Troop. Again, probably one of those shows that I haven't watched every episode of, but I'm slowly watching them down with my daughter, so maybe I'll get a chance to watch them all because they are super fun. I love cartoons, you know, just some great straight slapstick, you know, old school Warner Brothers cartoons I'm a big fan of. And with that in mind, when it came to the Disney cartoons, I was most into classic Goofy and sometimes Donald Duck cartoons when he'd be losing his mind and cussing at everybody. And Goofy when he would be like demonstrating various sports equipment and, you know, and there's definitely a little bit of that in Goof Troop. And if you love some Goofy and some of that great energy and silliness and sweetness of Goofy, you know, because Goofy's like a pure good as well, which I think is just wonderful. We need more pure goods in this world. And he's a pure good tempered with his just exasperating, you know, short-sightedness and clumsiness. But Goof Troop, that's a great one. Okay, so the next year they introduced a show that was a little bit of the weaker side of things, but I think nowadays it may stand up and may be worthy of a gander because of the historical time and place, and maybe with a little bit of perspective on it. Now, this one only went 3 seasons as well, partially because like it was not as well liked as the other shows. It was not as successful. People were tuning out of Bonkers, I believe, is part of the reason why they adjusted the way their schedule started to go. So Goof Troop was the last one. Goof Troop, Darkwing Duck, and Tailspin were the last that got like the full 4-season treatment thing. Even though it says here that DuckTales and Darkwing Duck came back, but I think they came back in reruns. I don't think they came back with new episodes. Bonkers was fun. Bonkers was originally set out. It was supposed to be a Roger Rabbit cartoon. And Roger Rabbit was going to become a police officer on the police force, and that was what it was supposed to be. And I don't know exactly what went down that had it be changed from Roger Rabbit on the police force to this dude Bonkers on the police force, but that change got made, and that's the thing. But there were some things to like about Bonkers. You know, it was a police drama with a zany cartoon character on the police force, a la Roger Rabbit, and there was something fun about that idea. I think it would have been better if it was Roger. I think it's kind of fun to watch it knowing that it was originally supposed to be Roger and kind of like reading into it a little bit, because I think that some of the behind the scenes of some of this Disney Afternoon stuff is really excellent and worth your time. So, you know, that's all I really have to say about Bonkers. You know, I watched it, but I didn't watch it as vigorously as I watched all the other ones. And, you know, Bonkers was one of the ones where I was like, oh, whatever, you know, get up and sit down and not be like sitting there watching every episode. I mean, every minute of the episode. You know, because this was the whole thing. You know, this shit was on in the afternoon. So I would come home from school and it would just be like, you know, you put on the TV in the background as you have like a afternoon snack. And you know, coming home from school, and this would be watching. But I also played sports and stuff, so at a certain point in time, it was harder for me to watch all of the episodes of some of these shows. Like it was harder for me to watch one of the ones that we'll get to still in a little bit, Gargoyles. But I was constantly trying to watch the reruns and catch episodes that I would miss because I was playing sports at this time. But still, maybe available. Let's see. I was like, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. When Aladdin was added to the mix. And I was a big fan of the Aladdin film. You know, I did an episode of my All Your Favorite Bands Suck podcast on Howard Ashman, who's one of my favorite musicians of all time. He was short-lived, but he wrote all the music for Aladdin. He wrote all the music for Little Mermaid and for Beauty and the Beast, as well as the musical Little Shop of Horrors, which is my favorite musical of all time. I fucking adore Howard Ashman, that music, Aladdin, and, you know, Robin Williams. I love Robin Williams. And even though Robin Williams was not the voice actor in this TV show, I love this TV show. They did a couple direct-to-TV animated movies, 40 Thieves, and another one. I don't remember what they were called, Return of Jafar. And I watched all those because I thought this show was great and I loved the continuing adventures of Aladdin and the genie and Abu and Carpet, and it was super fun, and I really enjoyed this show. If you are a fan of Aladdin and you've never watched this series, I highly recommend it. Also, at the time, there was a great Aladdin video game. If you're a fan of Aladdin, you never got to play that video game was super fun. And there are ways to get the game now, and you like just interacting in that world and flying through the Cave of Wonders as it's falling apart and stuff. Stuff's worth your time. I'm a big fan of Aladdin. I know there's a lot of big Aladdin fans out there in the world. Like, dude, go watch the Aladdin series. You know, it wasn't serialized, you know, really, like, you know, so everything kind of like wrapped itself up in the thing, but it was just consistently enjoyable. I really think you would dig it if you like Aladdin and you know, you don't mind watching cartoons, which I'm guessing if you're listening to this episode of the show, you're probably open to. Well, geeks, you know, us geeks in general. You know, there's some of the geeks who don't like fucking cartoons, but cartoons are cool, man. Don't knock cartoons. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing really too much to add about the Aladdin cartoon other than the fact that Iago is added in as a good guy friend to the series, and it's, you know, additive in all sorts of ways. You know, it's very solid stuff. A lot of times the process of adaptation is like learning a song and then playing that song or similar versions of that song, or learning a genre of music and then reproducing that genre over and over again. The great Batman writers are doing an impression of the great Batman writers who have come before them and attempting to be additive to the thing and add more layers to the onion that's already been created. You know, if you study the Aladdin movie, like I studied the Toy Story films, when I wrote Toy Story comic books, I literally had it playing in the background over and over and over again, just so that when I was writing the dialogue for the characters, that their voices were like really strong in my mind. And I think that this Aladdin series is a great example of that. Similarly, but maybe to a lesser extent, is the Timon and Pumbaa series, which we'll talk about, I guess, for a moment, in a little bit.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But really, they just did a great job repurposing the song, you know, the Aladdin song. So if you like Aladdin, there's more. It's not a musical. There's no music in it. But still awesome and worth your time. So then in 1995-96, they introduced Gargoyles. Holy shit. Shout out to my buddy Greg Weissman. I got to bring in Greg Weissman to write the Mythic Legions comic book for the art book that I produced for Mythic Legions Studios. If you're not turned on to Mythic Legions and you're a geek who's like into fantasy type stuff, they make fantasy action figures. Incredible stuff. These are the sculptors who used to work for McFarlane Toys and have worked for all the big toy studios. They're like insane. I think Eric Treadaway, one of their lead sculptors, is the reincarnation of Da Vinci. He's incredible. And the Mythic Legions line's awesome, and Greg Weissman did a great job on this book that we produced for them. It's kind of hard to find now if you try to get your hands on it. But I reached out to Greg because of, well, not just the Gargoyle series, but ultimately the Gargoyle series, which made me such a huge fan of his. Because the Gargoyle animated series, which was supposed to be Disney's answer to Batman the animated series, is awesome. It's so cool, the tone, the vibe, the visuals in it, this castle sitting on top of this giant skyscraper in Manhattan, and these gargoyles coming to life every night and roaming the city, and all their backstory and the various bad guys, and you know, just like they're the tough as nails cop lady who you know, is their buddy. Like I was always like super into her. But Gargoyles is awesome. Gargoyles, I think, similarly has a 2 or maybe 3 season run. I think it only got 2 because of like some of the weird stuff that happened with the show over time. I mean, if you look at it at this point, it's what is it? You know, it goes to Tailspin, Darkwing Duck, Goof Troop, and Bonkers, and then Bonkers starts to like screw them up, and then they get Darkwing Duck, Goof Troop, Bonkers, and Aladdin's doing well, and they realize, Bonkers may be the problem. Well, maybe Bonkers will do better with the younger kids next year. And then it's Goof Troop, Bonkers, Aladdin, Gargoyles. People still don't really love Bonkers, but Gargoyles is doing good. And maybe we'll bring back Darkwing Duck and push on Gargoyles, and we'll keep Aladdin where it is because it's doing good. And then we'll try our new series, Quack Pack. Now, Quack Pack is probably the last one that I got to like watch with any regularity. You know, Disney, I think somebody said this online, Disney trying to do cool kids generally, you know, goes over about that well, which was such a shame because I remember watching Crack Pack thinking, oh, man, I already liked them. I already thought they were cool. You don't have to make them cool. They're cool. because this Crack Pack was about Huey, Dewey, and Louie, and it was just like, but it was like them as like these cool teens, and it's just like it just went too hard on trying to make them cool because they were already cool. Like the audience who had any awareness with them whatsoever was like, yeah, Huey, Dewey, and Louie are a boss. We're down. So I think they overdid it with Crack Pack. There were some elements in Quack Pack that were fun. I like Huey, Dewey, and Louie. So, it's one that I've thought about putting on with the kids a couple times, and I probably will end up doing it eventually. When you have Disney Plus, and this is kind of the thing. It's like, to a certain degree, I feel like there's just going to be more and more reasons to not have Disney Plus in the near future. And, as I see that future coming, I feel like we should get all of our juice out of the squeeze that is Disney Plus while you have it. And Crack Pack might be worth your time. Beyond Crack Pack, the next season, they lost their fourth slot and they only had 101 Dalmatians playing with a new season of Crack Pack and I think reruns of DuckTales. But then they came back, they got the full 2 hours for the ninth season of the Disney Afternoon, where they did reruns of DuckTales. They had Disney's Doug, which I don't think I ever watched Disney's Doug, even though I loved regular Doug. 101 Dalmatians, the series, which I didn't catch that, and Hercules, the animated series, which I think I've caught like maybe an episode or two of. It was on later. I was playing sports at that time, so I think maybe I happened to catch Hercules, the animated series. It's funny, there's some that aren't mentioned here. Like there was like a Ren and Stimpy-like show that they had done. I forget what that was called. I never watched that one. And there was a Timon and Pumbaa show that they did as well. I don't remember where that ended up in the mix here in the Disney Afternoon. But those ones, you know, those ones weren't ones that I had ever seen. I just kind of like heard about those after the fact. I'm actually pulling it up on the, I'm pulling it up on the old Wikipedia to see if we can actually get some accurate information, which surprisingly you do a lot. There was the Schnookums and Meat Funny Cartoon Show, which I never caught that, and Lion King's Timon and Pumbaa, which I did catch some of that, and that was good. It was very similarly, you know, they had the tone of Lion King and it was enjoyable. That one was less engaging than the possibilities and some of the stuff that was going on in the Aladdin show, which I liked better. But the Timon and Pumbaa show was cool. If you're a Lion King fan, I think that's worth checking out. They did a decent job bringing it to life. And similarly, Hercules, if you're a Hercules fan, I think that's worth checking out. It's a season of the show done in that vein at the time. And, certainly a markdown, but going back as a nostalgia thing, trying to get a little bit more of something that you liked out of the thing, it would be worth your time. And then lastly, there was also apparently in some places a Mighty Ducks show, which I think I did see a little bit of the Mighty Ducks show, or I've seen a little bit here and there. It was weird. And I think that was like one of the main points that somebody else made. I did like a little bit of like searching up, seeing like what other people's favorites were of some of these shows. That's how I know that some people really liked the Gummy Bear show, which I thought was good, but that was one of my favorites. Maybe it deserves another watch, is what I said to myself when I saw that. the Mighty Ducks show was weird, and I think a lot of people liked it because it was so weird. And I remember just being a little confounded by it, going like, I don't get it. but I did kind of want to like it, even though I didn't exactly get it. And I remember sort of saying, if you guys want to do the Mighty Ducks, for comic books, that I think there's juice in the brand and like I could probably take it and do something cool with it, because it didn't quite work. But it was interesting. It was weird. So where does that leave us on the Disney Afternoon? I guess it leaves us with, you know, the big takeaways being you need to watch Darkwing Duck. Like, seriously, need to do yourself a favor, watch some fucking Darkwing Duck and DuckTales along with it. And if you're a fan of Aladdin, a fan of Hercules, or a fan of The Lion King, you have another show to watch. Also, if you're a fan of Goofy and the Goofy Movie, you have another show to watch. If you're a fan of Jungle Book and Baloo and King Louie, you have another thing to watch. If you're a fan of those old Chip and Dale's cartoons of them being, you know, squirrely squirrels, you have another show to watch. I highly recommend, you know, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers too, for people who don't. And then I have another show to watch, Adventures in Gummy Bears, so I can get a little bit more into it. But I did like that one. And if you're a huge Roger Rabbit fan and you want to know everything about Roger Rabbit, you got another show to watch, that Bonkers Show. And above all, though, the thing that comes out of here that I really think is ultimately a masterpiece is Gargoyles, man. Gargoyles is just some next level animation and some great storytelling and just wonderful, wonderful series. So Gargoyles and DuckTales / Darkwing Duck are my big, big takeaways from here. But I mean, Goof Troop and Aladdin and Tailspin and Chip and Dale. It's hard for me to choose from. There is just so much great stuff. You know, I just like look at this list and I'm like, Adventures of Gummy Bears, great. DuckTales, great. Chip and Dale, great. Tailspin, great. Darkwing Duck, great. Goof Troop, great. Bonkers, it was okay. Aladdin, great. Gargoyles, great. Schnookums, I didn't see. Lion King, great. Quack Pack, okay. Mighty Ducks, weird. 101, I didn't see. Hercules was good as far as I could see. And Disney's Doug. I mean, like, these were the ones that, like, came out at the very end. I mean, the bulk of it is just like, fuck yes. Go and enjoy. Like, seriously, I hope that something that I said here today has sparked for you, and like you've got hours of enjoyment on your Disney Plus account to go take advantage of this shit. Like, it's fuck, like, yes. Yes, 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 yes. I cuss a lot. I don't know if you noticed that about me, but I do. I don't know what I'm doing this weekend. I was thinking maybe for Saturday's episode that I would do Lone Ranger. That had been on my list. So I would watch that. I love watching Lone Ranger. So maybe I'll watch Lone Ranger and take some notes. Because I think maybe Lone Ranger is this weekend. If you haven't seen Lone Ranger, oh, it's great, man. It's great. Armie Hammer and Johnny Depp. And it's worth your time.
It's worth your time, my friends.
Anyway, I don't know. I love you guys so much. Shit, I'm trying to like figure out how to get up to get over to my computer like to look at my... Oh, my God. Because my freaking lower back, I really... Oof, I did... Son of a bitch. Son of a bitch. I like worked out. I was so happy. Minor setback. I got to be a little easier on my lower back and let this thing fucking heal. Because it is being a bit grumpy with me right now. Ah, well, that's it, Cools Geeks. I'm your professionally passionate or something. Passionate, that's it. I'm your passionate geek culture commentator, Jesse Blaze Snyder. You can write to me at jesseblaze@jessesnyder.com. I love you all so much. I really do. I look forward to hearing from you. And anyway, thank you for listening to my show. And I hope you will join me again next Wednesday and this coming Saturday for another fucking ass-kicking episode of The Coolest Geek Alive and profanity-laced. Fuck. You've been listening to Coolest Geek Alive with me, your host, Jesse Blaze Snyder. Don't forget to rate, comment, and subscribe for more excellent geek culture content. Thanks for listening.
It's my favorite part!
Coolest alive.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Stay with your tribe.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Revenge of the Geeks.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Week after weeks.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Laughing with you.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
And crying sometimes too.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Spilling it out.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Making you shout.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Talking some shit.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Living the shit.
My voice.
It's gonna be fucking awesome. Food in our mouth.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Get in the mouth.
It's gonna be
listen
fucking
to the
awesome.
Tell all your friends.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Call right on text.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Raising the bar.
Fucking awesome. Fucking awesome. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Just wait. You'll see. You'll all see.
You'll all see.
The Podcast Playground.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.